Scripture text for meditation is taken from 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22. Verses 19 to 23. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 to 23, and I shall read. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth, and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee."
Greetings to you all, in the blessed name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And praise God for the privilege of being back home again, and to have the privilege as well this morning of our beloved principal and our beloved pastor, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe, with us. And praise God for the studies that he did overseas, for the Reformation spirit that he did catch, that he then was able to bring back by the grace of God, that others of us may be able to hear the truth of God's word and continue on. How we give thanks that often there is one man that stands alone, and the Lord will bless. This morning we look at the title, the subject, God is still on the throne. I bring greetings on behalf of Faith Presbyterian Church in Perth, and praise God for the time that we did live in Singapore, and for my time of study at the Far Eastern Bible College, my alma mater. Tomorrow, we, as FEBC graduates and students, are going up to Mersing. We will be there for 3 days. And praise God that our beloved principal and pastor, God willing, will be coming with us. We praise God for the graduation service tonight as well, and for the some 600 students that have graduated over the years through the Far Eastern Bible College. How I give thanks to the Lord for the fact of being a student again. And I'm continuing to study through the Far Eastern Bible College in ministry degree program. And I praise God for the privilege and for seeing your smiling faces and to be amongst like-minded brethren. Praise God for our dear sister, Mui Mui, who we can hear just the gentle voice of ministering to our Chinese brethren. Ni hao ma to our Chinese brethren. And how we praise God that we can fellowship one with another. To those who we have had the privilege of fellowshipping with us at Faith Presbyterian in Perth, Church in Perth, we praise God for you being here with us today as well. May the Lord strengthen each one, and may we continue to pray for the church here. We pray for True Life every and FEBC from the pulpit every Sunday, and we continue to uphold you all in prayer. And praise God for the ministry that you do have with FEBC, and for those of you who support, pray for FEBC to continue for many, many years, standing and contending for the word of God. This morning, the verses have been read that we'll be looking at. We'll be looking at a few verses which do come before verse 19. But verse 19 this morning is our key verse. But before we do commence, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us. We give thanks for thy tender mercies. We give thanks for every provision provided. We give thanks for every blessing. And Lord, how we give thanks for the privilege of fellowship one with another. We give thanks, Lord, for like-minded brethren, brethren who do know thy word and apply it correctly to our lives. And Lord, we do confess our sin before thee, knowing that thou art a God who is able and just to forgive our known sin, our unknown sin, and any deep-seated sin that we may be involved in. Lord, for we know that those sins which are hidden in the inner recesses of our heart are sins that nobody else knows of, but we know that thou art a God who knows all things. And I pray, Lord, that we may forsake these sins, that if any of our brethren here are caught up in the bondage of a sin, they can't break free from it. I pray that today be the day that they genuinely confess before thee and not return as a dog to its vomit, not wallow in the mud even as the sow does, but Lord, be a people who love thee. And I do pray at this time for those in our midst who may be troubled. The trouble may be an emotional. It may be a relationship difficulty. It may be a financial difficulty. It may, Lord, be some difficulty that only these people know of and nobody else. We pray today, Lord, that each one will trust in thee, knowing that thou art a great God, a God who is still on the throne, a God who can deliver us from these trials, these turmoils in life, can set us free. For, Lord, we know that our hope is only in thee. It's not in ourselves or the things that we do or accomplish, but that our hope is in thee. Oh Lord, we do give thanks for those who continue to bear a good testimony in their suffering, in their physical afflictions. And Lord, we give thanks for the blessedness of the fact that soon we will be with thee. We give thanks for our loved ones who are with thee, for we know that they are in a better place. They are in a closer communion with thee. And Lord, we look forward to the day of being with thee as well. We give thanks, Lord, for those who will be here at a time when they will not experience death, when they will be raptured with a glorified body. But Lord, we give thanks that we can know thee, and Lord, that we have the assurance, the blessed assurance of spending eternity with thee, one with another in fellowship, knowing that thou art a God who will always be on the throne. For these things we commit unto thee, and we do pray as we open thy word that we be granted a double portion of thy unction to understand and again apply it correctly to our lives. May we be a people who forgive one another, even as we said the Lord's Prayer just a while ago. I pray as we say it, it may not just be some words that we do say, but that we may reflect on the things that we are saying, on thy goodness, and Lord, that we must forgive those who sin against us. May our hearts be renewed this day, and may we be a people who dwell together in unity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the title, God is Still on the Throne. The key verse this morning is verse 19 of 1 Kings chapter 22. And the word of God says, "And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." How we give thanks that God is still on the throne, no matter the trials, the tribulations that we go through in this life. And this morning, we look specifically at King Ahab. King Ahab was a wicked king, and he had a wife who is one of the most wicked wives recorded in the scripture. He often listened to her. He listened to the advice that she gave, and he carried out that advice that she gave. And yet in her wickedness, in her deceitfulness, she had an agenda as well. But you see, Ahab was a man who continued to hate the wrong people. He continued to take wrong advice from the wrong people. the people that were giving him the right advice is that which he was not listening to. He despised them. He hated them. And how often in life do we do that as well? You see, it's to our own ruin, it's to our own detriment if we are listening to those people who are giving the wrong advice and hating those people who will challenge us where we need to be challenged. I praise God for the teaching that I had at the Far Eastern Bible College. You will not understand the repentance that I went through, the tears that I shed, the time in the church praying, Lord, forgive me for these things I did not know before being taught the truth. And for the privilege of being taught the truth there. Not a whole set of lies, or you can believe this, you can believe that, you can believe whatever you want. Folk, we can't. And praise God for the teaching that you have here. If you despise it, it can be to your own ruin. If you love it, if you are challenged, and I would give thanks to God every time at the Bible College that I would get a challenge, realizing that I had done things wrong in the past. You see, folk, if we do things wrong, it's not the end. It's not a case of losing face because we've done things wrong. It's confessing before God, it's repenting, and it's continuing on. Here is a man who only listened to those things that pleased him. And there are a lot of people in this world who will go about from pastor to pastor until they can get somebody who will agree with them. You keep going and you'll get somebody to agree with you. But it may be to your own destruction, to your own ruin. And here we see King Ahab exactly in that situation. And we know that there's a man, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. He did some goodly things for the Lord in his early part. Towards the end of his reign, he compromised. And he made an alliance with the enemy. He became an unequally yoked person. And often this happens because of the wanting of popularity, the wanting of large numbers. You see, Jehoshaphat started well. We're going to look at a verse at the end of our message today to show that when we go to the grave, it is good to go to the grave with a good name. If not, it's a shameful thing. May we be a people who learn from even Ahab that it was his pride, that it was his arrogance, that his desire was for fame, and he only wanted prophesying that would help him advance in his agenda. And so Jehoshaphat is the man who we see the word of God refer to. And I would just like to remind you that Ahab was a man who was willingly deceived. And we see a lot of false teachers, a lot of false prophets who are willingly deceived today. They love the deception that they're walking in. But you know what? They will end up a miserable people. Because you see, once we go against God, once we start questioning God, then we will be a miserable people. And I pray that we may be a people who forgive one another. Who, oh, how blessed it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Praise God for the teaching that you get here. And I pray that you would dwell together in unity. Let us not be a people who are covetous, but let us be a people who esteem other better than ourselves. Other people better than ourselves, and be a people who love the Lord and trust the Lord, not protecting something that we need to protect, as Ahab did. And so he had his 400 prophets when he was seeking God as to whether he should go to war. And the 400 prophets said, yes, Ahab, it's okay to go. A messenger was then sent to Micah. The messenger that was sent to Micah was to ask him to come and prophesy whether the king should really go to war or not. And the messenger said to him, the 400 prophets have agreed in unity, in one voice, they have said, it is okay for the king to go to war. it is good for you to say the same thing. Well, Micah came straight back to the messenger and said, I'm only going to say the things that the Lord has told me. He was a person who was prepared to stand alone and to stand for that which is right. And you know how lonely it is for people who are standing for that which is right and standing alone against the majority? It is lonely. Pray for those who are standing firm. So in their wickedness, in his wickedness, Ahab wanted to go. It's his desire. Yes, I want to know what God's will is. But I don't really want to continue to do what God wants me to do because I have my own desires. If we pray for our will to be done, folk, we're going to end up a hurt people. If we pray for God's will to be done and we are prepared to trust God because he's still on the throne, you'll be blessed. No matter what the circumstances are that you go through, you'll be blessed. And praise God for the testimony of many of you, the faces I have seen as I walked, as you did come in today. Praise God for those of you who are blessed because you are standing for God. You see, those people who do their little devious bits, oh yeah, they have a religious pretense. They look as if they're doing the right things, saying the right things. But there is an agenda, there is a hidden agenda behind that which they do. We need to be a people who, as it were, live in glass houses. Our house down in Perth is full of people all the time. And for those of you who have been there, you'll realize. You see, not everybody likes people in their houses because you see our faults. But we need to be a people who do the best that we can before God and live a testimony that will not cause somebody else to stumble. We need to be a people who love the Lord, not justify our own sin by seeking out people who will agree with us. You will always get people who will agree if you go long enough. But don't crucify those who are standing firm, those who are standing alone. The word of God in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14 says, and Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. You see verse 13, I'd like to read this to you. Here's the man who's just standing alone against the false prophets. And verse 13 says, and the messenger that was gone to call Micah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And again, verse 14, and Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Praise God for those who are prepared, even in these days, to stand upon the truth of God's word. How does God speak to us today? He speaks to us through his word. Inerrant, infallible word. We give thanks for the truth of God's word and for all who faithfully contend for it. Verse 15 says, so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper. You see, he's speaking in derision here. Go and prosper. In other words, you're wanting to go, go. You see, if you want to walk into God's punitive will, you just do what you want. You go against the word of God and you'll suffer because it's God's punitive will that you're going to go into. And Ahab here was wanting to go because he could see so much wealth, so much benefit. And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. In other words, you go there and you'll get it. But you won't just get that. You're going to get something else. Verse 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee? How many times do I have to ask you? You're talking to me in derision. Well, it's what the king wanted to hear. How many times shall I adjure thee, and thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Verse 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Verse 18, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, you see, Jehoshaphat was the goodly king. He's the man who did some good for God. But now he is unequally yoked with Ahab. So easy to do. Sometimes it's because one family member may marry another family member. They ought not to have done, but because it did occur, then you have an alliance and you feel compelled to fellowship with these people. We need to be a people who dwell together in unity, but understand that which God has for us. Verse 18, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? In other words, he calls Jehoshaphat and says, I told you he would only speak evil against me. Well, verse 19, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. How we praise God for the fact that this man, Micah, still continued to stand. He stood alone. And when the 400 other prophets all spoke that which the king wanted to hear, rather than what he needed to hear. And folk, if we're going to keep going around to until we hear what we want to hear, it can be to our own detriment. We're going to look shortly at those people who were ripe for ruin. You see, King Ahab was ripe for ruin because he didn't really want to hear what God said. He didn't really want to follow God's desire, but his own desire. Go and prosper. Well, we know that there would have been a dishonorable retreat. We know that King Ahab continued to bear malice. And what we tend to find, in life is that there are some people who are very defensive, they're very sensitive. And sometimes it's like the thief. The thief believes that everybody else is a thief. And so he treats them accordingly. He treats them in an insensitive manner. He is very defensive when he is speaking to people. But Micah only prophesied that which the king needed to hear. He was the faithful one. And I pray that we may be a people who are honest one with another and honest with the word of God, not twisting it out of context, not collapsing its context to meet our own desires, but a people who love the Lord and know that soon we are going to be with him. What a blessing. What a blessing. So when it comes to honesty, let us be a people who speak in a loving manner one to another. You see, there are two types of wounds. When an issue needs to be addressed, there will be those people who will say what you want to hear. There will be those people who will speak honestly. And please understand, even from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6, the Word of God says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So here we see one type of wound. It's the wound of a friend, where the person who loves you will say that which you need to hear, not to hurt you, but because of love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And then please be reminded as well, if we have brethren who are walking in sin, if we are having friends who are walking in sin, and we do not exercise a challenge there, there is something that will happen. I praise God for the last 5-6 years lecturing at the Aboriginal Bible College in Perth. And each year when we have the orientation day and the students do arrive, I usually ask them several things. Firstly, if they are born again, if they are truly born again, not just had some religious type of experience, but truly born again. And then the second question I do ask is, has God called them into ministry? Has God called them into ministry? Because those we're training up down there just go straight back into the pulpits. Well, prayerfully, we'll be going back into pulpits. And we praise God for the men that God has called. Now, sometimes there are those people who will, they will generally say, yes, they are born again. And generally they'll say, yes, they are called. And then after just a little speaking to them, sometimes there'll be those that will go to the principal and say, Pastor Clive, I don't think I'm called. Now, one of the questions I do ask them is this: do you have children? And those who have children will raise their hands. The second question is, are your children messing up? Are your children messing up? I said, be honest. And then reluctantly hands will come up. And I said, does that disqualify you from ministry? And they sit there contemplating, wondering what's going to be said. And I would then say, yes, it does. It disqualifies you from ministry. Their jaws will drop and they think, what am I doing here? And then I will say, turn to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18 says this: when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall surely die in his iniquity. He will die in his iniquity. But if you say nothing to him, what happens to you? But his blood will I require at thine hand. If you have loved ones who are messing up in the Lord, messing up, and you do not challenge them, their blood is on your hands. If you have challenged them, it doesn't mean you have to do it throughout every minute of every day. But if you are not agreeing with what they're doing and you have challenged, then their blood is not on your hands. The word of God, likewise, in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 to 9, says the same thing. And at the end of it, it says, but his blood will I require at thine hand. I praise God for coming to the Far Eastern Bible College. You know, I came to the Far Eastern Bible College from the charismatic movement. Please understand, brethren, it is messed up. And a lot of people get messed up there. The scriptures are taken out of context. The scriptures are taken to please people. And it is most often that there is quite a bit of licentiousness there as well. I praise God that I had to confess a lot of sin and repent of a lot of teaching that I had received before coming to the Far Eastern Bible College. You see, once you get the truth of God's word taught, then, oh, what a release it is. What a release. And praise God for the fact of the wounds that we can have when a brother will come to us and say, brother, do you realize that you said this? Do you realize that you have been doing that? You see, they're not doing it to hurt us. They're doing it because they love us. If we can comprehend that, we're going to be a much better people. And we'll be a lot less miserable. We'll be a people who love God with a different love. At the Bible College, they would continue to put more and more pressure on us, because some of the lecturers would say, when you come to Bible College, you think you know how to pray. And yeah, we're all guilty of that. And then as time goes on, more and more pressure, and we pray more and more. Then the tears, then just before exams, they'll give us something else to do, and it'll just about break us. It's better that we do some breaking in the Bible College than do some breaking in ministry, because it will affect a lot of people. You see, God had determined Ahab's fall. He had determined Ahab's fall. Ahab was setting himself on a course. He was setting himself on his own agenda, and that was, unbeknown to him, a course for his destruction. Once Pharaoh set himself on a course, on a collision course with God, he was finished. He saw all the plagues. He saw the hand of God. He recognized there was a God. Yes, but lots of people recognize there's a God. but he continued on a collision course with God. I pray that none of us be on a collision course with God. If so, it's going to hurt us, and it will not just hurt us, it will hurt other people as well. Remember the sin of Achan. It hurt other people. Not only did he lose his life, but all his family, his relatives, and his livestock were all stoned to death. You see, the sin goes beyond just one person. Ahab's fall. So, with his exploits and his desires, he was set for a fall. And he did. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 22, the word of God says, "And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I go forth. Sorry, 22:22. I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so." You see, King Ahab had continued to reject the warnings that God had given. God sends us warnings, folk. Sometimes he will send warnings through the people of the world. He will send the warnings through the faithful who continue to teach God's word. Then I'd just like to read to you what actually happened to King Ahab. And we see in verse 37, 1 Kings 22:37, "So the king died." So this is his demise in the end. "So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria." And verse 38, look at this. "And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord, which he spake." Here we see that King Ahab's demise came about. The dogs licked up his blood. Set himself on a collision course with God. Listened to the wrong people. And how often throughout history, we're going to look at David just in a few minutes, at King David, how often do we see people who believe that somebody who's walking alongside giving them advice are actually friends of theirs? Then we see in the end they turned. They weren't friends. They had an agenda of their own. And consequences come about, ripe for ruin. And so with Ahab here, they washed, after his death, they washed the blood from the chariot. I would just like to bring to you just a situation that is a real situation. And it's actually a saying that we should not use. And it's the saying, and I don't know how many of you do know of this saying. It's just the saying, "home and hosed." You know, sometimes there are people who, once they finish a project, say, "We're home and hosed." I don't know whether you've heard it or whether you haven't. But if you haven't, I just want to mention to you where it actually has come from. During World War II, there were the Lancasters. They were the bombers, and they would go out on their bombing raids. And the Lancasters had four propellers and enough space for ammunition. And when you do actually climb through them, there's not much room to get into the cockpit. Just below the cockpit, there will always be a logo, and there will always be the name of the plane. They will give it affectionately a name. And underneath that, you will see some dots. And these dots are placed on there once they return home safely from a bombing raid. Once they get back safely, they'll put a dot on there. So if you look at a Lancaster and you see it from side on and you see 23 dots, you know it's been on 23 bombing raids. If it's only got two, it only went out on two bombing raids. But at the back in the turret at the back, there is the gunner. And the gunner is the person who offers the protection of the plane. And it was a very, very dangerous situation for him to be in. And those at the museum, the Aviation Museum in Perth, were mentioning that gunners, if they could get past three trips, if they could go out on three bombing raids and return home alive, then they were doing well. And because at the back, they're sitting at the back, so as the enemy aircraft are coming towards them, they're standing alone. and they don't have much room to move. They can go up and down a little bit and sideways a bit, but there's not much room in there. And they are the ones that cop the blast. They are the ones that cop all the bullets as the enemy are trying to drop these planes out of the air so they don't cause any more destruction. And so consequently, they would take the bullets at the back. How then does the phrase home and hose come about? When they would land, they would go straight to the area of cleaning out. They would unlock the turret, they would swing it open, and they would hose out all the blood and the body parts. You see, King Ahab here, they took his chariot and they washed the blood with the water. Here, once they did that, then they would report in, "We are home and hosed." Folk, if ever you have used that saying before, I hope you never use it again. Because if we understand where things come from, these were the men that were sitting at the back, whose lives were taken to protect their own country. You see, there will always be the Micahs in ministry. There will always be those who stand alone, who stand firm. You see, we should never be praying that a pastor do less work for God. Don't ever pray that anybody do less work for God. Pray for strength for them to do the work for God that is required of them to do. And pray that others may be raised alongside. And I pray that even if there is somebody in our midst who is not serving God at this point of time, you have had a desire to, but you haven't, I pray that you be able to go to one of the leaders and say, "Brother, I would like to serve God. Can you help me as to an area within the church that I can serve?" Praise God for the extra faces that are seen each time I do visit. And I pray that you may serve God and understand the blessings of serving God. And that when we stand before God, and each one of us will, the reason that we stand before God is because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Eve sinned first, but Adam, being the federal head, the representative of mankind, is the one who took the blame. And so sin passes on to all of our children. We do not deliberately pass on sin to our children. It's inherent. It is that which we just pass on because the wages of sin is death. But you see, we have the victory. And there are a lot of people who walk about without victory. They give Satan, they give the adversary too much credit. He is a defeated foe. Genesis 3:16, he is defeated at the cross of Calvary when Jesus resurrected from the grave. We see that those of us who believe in him will be resurrected again. Oh, what a blessed hope we have. What a glorious future that we have in him. Afflictions, trials, persecutions, we're going to go through them. But folk, trust in God. He is a God who loves us. He is a God who is still on the throne. He is a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us be reminded of Ahab, the demise of Ahab. He did not go to the grave with a good name. I pray that we may be a people who not falter in our work with God. Then I'd just like to mention to you, as Ahab was a sinner ripe for ruin, we see that there were others who were ripe for ruin as well, and throughout history. And the history that we have is only some 6,000 to 8,000 years of history. You see, when Satan did fall originally, he and his angels did go about to deceive who they could. Folk, we believe in a God who is a sovereign God. We have the truth of God's word with us even this day. Let us not be a people who are deceived, but understand the sovereignty of God. And then our lives will change. We'll be a people who are able to have a greater relationship with him, a relationship of love with the living and true God, knowing that we'll spend eternity with him, that his love was so great that he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that his blood be shed for the remission of each one of our sin. And if there's anybody outside of the kingdom of God here today, it will be the prayer of many that you may come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Sinners ripe for ruin. The word of God speaks about the fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we see that in Psalm 14, verse 1, and Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said, there is no God. What are the things that the fools do? The fools are people who despise wisdom and instruction. We see that from Proverbs as well. They slander. They mock at sin. They are people who speak foolishly. They are people who do not respond to discipline. They are people who speak perverseness with their lips. And they are people who return as a dog to its vomit. Even a sow to the mud, to the miry mud. The fool often has an empty religious appearance, an empty religious profession. He displays incompetent behavior. Unless there be a repentance, these people are ripe for ruin, as King Ahab was ripe for ruin. Now, we know that King David was a man who was both appointed and anointed by God. If you know somebody who is appointed and anointed by God, and you try to mess with them, you will not win. You see, Absalom, the son of David, tried to mess with David's life by doing what? By overtaking his reign. You see, once you start to do this, then you are a sinner who is ripe for ruin. Not only Absalom, but his brother also tried to overtake the reign of David. Ripe for ruin. Joab, who was actually a nephew of David. Yeah, he did many, many things that were right, and he stood alongside David. But in the end, he had a tendency to head towards Adonijah, who betrayed his father trying to take over his reign. And what happened to him? Once Solomon realized what was going on, who did he have put away first? Joab. You see, you start messing with God's anointed and those who are appointed by God, and you are a sinner ripe for ruin. Let us not be a people who despise the things of God. Now, with Absalom, how did all this start with Absalom? Well, he had a sister, Tamar, and Tamar had a half-brother, Amnon. And Amnon violated Absalom's sister, Tamar. And so after 2 years of planning and thinking, with hatred building up in his heart, how am I going to get away with Amnon? How am I going to do away with him? Then he had a sheep shearing feast. The other night we looked at a sheep shearing feast. And this one, this sheep shearing feast, was at Baal Hazor. And it was on the border of Ephraim and Benjamin. It was the estate that Absalom did have. And he invited all the princes along, and he invited his people. He got his people, his servants, to do away with Amnon. And then he fled. You see, once wickedness comes in the heart, people will get others to do the dirty work. You'll notice that some of the leaders throughout the world who have been put on charges of maltreating others say, no, I didn't do it. Well, you know, in the reason that they are trying to get out of it is by saying they didn't physically do it. It was not them that did it. It was their servants that did it. So they're saying, I didn't do it. I'm not guilty of that. You see, the twisting of things, the twisting of words, the twisting of God's word is that which many people do today, which they say they are not guilty of. Please understand, they are guilty of doing it. And so we see that Absalom had Amnon murdered. Sheep shearing feast. The sheep shearing feast we looked at the other night was when Nabal had finished his shearing. David sent his servants in. And Nabal knew who David was. Or who is he? Who is he, says Nabal? He had all the provision for his sheep shearing feast. In other words, at the end of the shearing, they will have what is called a cutout. In other words, a feast. And he had all the bread, he had all the drinks, he had all the grapes, he had all the meat prepared, and would not let David and his servants have any. David was absolutely furious. And then Abigail is the godly wife, the goodly wife of Nabal. She realized that this man was a foolish man. He was a stone-hearted man. He was a man who would not recognize the things of God. She recognized God's appointed and God's anointed before he was placed in a position. She knew. So why didn't Nabal know? He knew. A foolish man, a drunkard, what many people would call an idiot, a hard heart, not giving anything. So what did she do? Oh, she took a lot of provision out to them and said, my husband is foolish. And what did God do? Took Nabal's life. When? The next day. Not prepared to give anything to God. Not prepared to recognize the servants that God had installed. A foolish man. But she had, as we mentioned the other night, a beautiful countenance. And that does not mean an outward appearance of beauty, but a beautiful countenance is a loving heart within, a heart that loves God. You see, external appearances don't matter, folk. It doesn't matter. What's in the heart is so more important. There are those of us who have relatives who are supermodels in this world. You see, an outward appearance to the world means something. But an inward appearance is what God is looking at, because God knows the heart. We look at the external. Why do we? We should look at the heart, understand the heart of godly women. Praise God for Abigail, a woman of beautiful countenance. Then Absalom, after 3 years, there is Joab with a sleight of hand, plans a reconciliation. So plans the reconciliation between Absalom and David. David still loved Absalom. And then when an ensuing battle, you see, when Absalom revolted at Hebron, King David actually fled over the Jordan. Okay? And then then he was anointed king. Anointed king, and so now he's going off to kill his father. Well, as he's going, he just gets caught. He just gets caught in the Taberinth tree, and his hair catches him there, and the animal that he was riding kept going, and he's there. And when Joab realized what was going on, Joab knew that he wasn't to take his life, but he did. You see, David still loved his son, and he said, please do not harm him, even though he's done to me what he has done. But Joab said, no, that's it. Took his life. You see, Absalom was a sinner ripe for ruin, ripe for destruction. May we be a people who do not involve ourselves in these types of things. Then there was Adonijah. Adonijah was the fourth son of the king. And he tried as well, unsuccessfully, to take the reign of King David. I pray that we may be a people who do God's will. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer this morning for the Lord's will to be done. Not ours, but the Lord's will. We need to be a people who understand God's word and God's will. May we not be a people ripe for ruin, but may we exercise humility. You see, we often use 1 Peter 5:7, cast our careth upon him, for he careth for us. But we tend to miss verse 6, which speaks about us exercising humility. In other words, repenting before God. But we just want to be a people who God, you know, we've got these cares. We want you to help us out of these cares, but we're not prepared to repent. You see, if we do repent and we exercise humility, we then will be a people who are able to exercise the will of God and understand he is still on the throne. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 mentions to us that God acts according to his will, the good purpose of his will. And praise God for his love for us, for his care for each one of us. King David delighted in doing God's will. Psalm 40 and verse 8. He delighted in doing God's will. In Psalm 143 verse 10, David said, "Teach me to do thy will." He's got the enemies around him. "Teach me to do thy will. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." The Lord's Prayer, Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray for God's will to be done. Let us understand, regardless of our circumstances, we need to be a people who understand God is still on the throne. We shortly are going to close with a hymn, and it's number 43. Now, I'm just going to read it to you before we do sing it. It's number 43, and it says, "God is still on the throne." For those of us who have been distracted, something in life, a trial, a tribulation, a persecution, a relationship difficulty, an illness, whatever it may have been, a financial situation, a problem at work, may have distracted us, and we may be a little bit like Jonah. You know, we're thinking, "Lord, I'm not prepared to accept this. I've just seen lots in Nineveh come to thee, but I'm not prepared to accept this. I'm going to sit under a tree for a while. I'm going to sit in some shade and I'm going to mope." It's very easy for us in life to be distracted by some things. But let us trust in God. The first verse in 43, which is, "God is still on our throne," says, "Have you started for glory in heaven?" In other words, are you born again? Have you left this old world far behind? Or do we have a love for it? Is your heart, in your heart, is the Comforter dwelling? You see, the Comforter, the third person of the Holy Spirit, God dwelling within us. How we give thanks for those of us, how we give thanks for those of us who are born again. In your heart is the Comforter dwelling. Can you say, "Praise the Lord, he is mine"? Have the ones that once walked on the highway gone back and you seem all alone? Keep your eyes on the prize. For the home in the skies, God is still on the throne. Verse 2, "Burdened soul, is your heart growing weary with the toil and the heat of the day? Does it seem that your path is more thorny as you journey along on life's way? Go away and in secret before him, tell your grief to the Savior alone. He will lighten your care, for he still answers prayer. God is still on the throne." Verse 3, "You may live in a tent or a cottage, unnoticed by those who pass by, but a mansion for you he is building in that beautiful city on high. It will outshine the wealth and the splendor of the riches on earth we have known. He's the architect true, and he's building for you. God is still on the throne." The final verse says, "He is coming again," is the promise. Two disciples, when he went away, in like manner as he has gone from you, you will see him returning someday. Does your tarrying cause you to wonder? Does it seem he's forgotten his own? His promise is true. He's coming for you. God is still on the throne. I would just like to close this morning with a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. And the word of God says this: "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." A good name. We have looked this morning just at a few people who may have started good, they may have done some good, but went to the grave with a bad name. You see, that which we need to have in this life is Jesus Christ within our heart. To serve him, to love him, to be obedient unto him. To dwell one with another in loving fellowship, one with another, in the truth of God's word. For there are lots of people who will exercise a love. But please understand this. Love without truth is devastating. It is nauseating. It is a sickness. Let us understand that we need to be a people who need to have that the virtues which are in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1. And I'll read it again as I close. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. May the Lord strengthen us. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks that thou art a God who is still on the throne. Oh Lord, how we give thanks that even through the trials that we go through in this life, Lord, there will be the challenges, there will be the disappointments, there will be the discouragements. We give thanks, Lord, that even this morning as we looked at Ahab, we realized that he was a man who was destined to ruin because he was wanting his will to be done. And we know in cases like that, the destiny is ruin. Lord, we give thanks even for David, who had so many enemies, who was appointed, who was anointed. So many enemies, so many who walked alongside him, and so many who were giving him the advice that he was taking. Lord, and in the end had turned from thee. We know that it was lonely in a sense for him. But Lord, we see with Ahab, he is a man who was planning his own desires, had his own agendas in this life. Oh Lord, how we do pray that we not be a people who go about seeking those who will agree with us, seeking those who will give us a doctrine that will comfort us during the time of our trial, but a people, Lord, who are prepared to share the truth of thy word. And may we be a people who forgive one another. For Lord, we know at times when there are those who will challenge us, that Lord, we will despise them. We will have unforgiveness towards them. I pray that our hearts may change today, understanding that thou art a God who is still on the throne. May our hearts be moulded and shaped and fitted for thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.